Tonight is anniversary night. The format of tonight's meeting will be a main speaker who will speak for 25 minutes, followed by our information break and the anniversary celebrants. Our main speaker tonight is Stephanie.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 22nd, 1983. It means I'm coming up on 35 years. It's a perfect amount of time for me. I should have gotten here, could have gotten here, would have gotten here earlier, but then I wouldn't have a story probably to tell. I'm a member of the Larchmont Group, which is conveniently located in Larchmont, New York. And if y'all come up that way, I promise you we'll give you a very warm welcome. You may have guessed I lived in the South for some time. You know, we're sort of the trapped family singers of AA, except none of us sing very well. My husband died some time ago with 40 years sobriety. I'm coming up on. We had 7 children. No wonder I drank. And all of them are sober in AA. We'd form a group, but we'd never be able to agree on who'd be chairman. I have 2 great-grandchildren. They're not drinking anything but milk these days. But we're waiting. I didn't intend to come to AA. And if I had known about it, and I was alive when it started, so, I mean, you suspected I was old, but you didn't realize I was that old. I knew both Lois and Bill Wilson. We lived about a half an hour away from each other. And I would have done things differently if I'd known I was going to go to AA. But, you know, I didn't drink in grammar school except milk, and I didn't drink in high school for some reason. I didn't drink in college. I didn't drink in graduate school. I hope you're impressed with how much education I had. My whole idea was to look good. I didn't particularly care whether I did good, but if I just looked good, you know, in any kind of a situation. I was a nervous wreck, consequently, most of my life. And I married this man who was an attorney, and he seemed like he'd be a good provider for the children we had, and which I didn't know we were going to have. And so we got married, and I quickly decided that I hated the way he drank. And I had a few thousand well-chosen words to say about that. And I finally went to, I was going to a priest for spiritual guidance. And he said to me one day, "We're done here unless you go to open AA meetings and to Al-Anon." I didn't need help, thank you very much. So off I went, bravely, and about 10 years later, I bravely had to accept the fact that my husband was sober and I was not. I don't know what happened. It's an asset today. I don't have a third grade drinking story. I don't have a high school drinking story. You know, I started late, but I kept my eye on the ball. And if you'd leave me alone, I could get falling down, passing out drunk 2, maybe 3 times a day. And that's what I did. And tomorrow was going to be different. Tomorrow I'd get it under control. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And I'd wake up and it was so, I was even bored. It was so depressing. I'd love to tell you I did nothing but drink and pass out and get up the next day and drink and pass out. But I was trying to keep my finger on the oven and the washing machine and the dryer and the driving to school and all that kind of stuff. And I had a lot of time left over to do a lot of things I never imagined I would have done in my life. But as long as I looked good, as long as I didn't get caught, it was all right with me. It wasn't all right, but I couldn't, and I knew. I knew where AA was. I knew what AA was. I had no excuse. I had been a member of Al-Anon, and I was grateful for the help that they gave me. So I decided, okay, I won't have to admit I'm an alcoholic. I'll take those same 12 steps except for one word, and I'll get sober without telling anybody I ever was a drunk. I can thank God today that didn't work, because I never would have been asked to come here tonight and celebrate with the celebrants who are celebrating tonight. Let me think if I could find another word besides celebrate. In any case, I didn't want to drink that way. I didn't want to be that woman. And I knew what to do, where to go, and how to do it. And I dug in my heels, and I said, maybe tomorrow. I know a loving God, and I would beg God to let me, please let me get sober, but don't make me have to go to AA. And I had nothing against it. You know, I was so glad. Some of our children have more sobriety, a longer time in sobriety than I do. My husband certainly, I didn't want to be drinking around this man who I loved and who was now sober. And I got up and I did it. Again. And one day, I had a plan. I always had plans. I got up on a Tuesday morning, and my plan was I needed a pair of sandals. And I needed to get a bottle so that I could drink that day when I got home from getting the sandals. I almost said buying the sandals, but I had no intention of buying them. I was going to get them. And so my bottom was in a Payless shoe store. I picked out the sandals, put them in my purse, and was headed for the door when something went clang, 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 clang. Oh, I tried to talk that man out of having the police come. And I went, and they took my picture and my fingerprints, and I guess they thought it wasn't the start of a crime wave, so they drove me back in the police car to the Payless shoe store, and I went home to figure out how I could push this little incident under the rug. I had a very lumpy rug. And, you know, the plan is so ridiculous when I think back on it. My husband was the judge in Larchmont, and and if Pelham ever told Larchmont about, I was really going to be in about a whole bunch of trouble. In any case, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I had not been to sleep, and I got out of bed, down on my knees, and I said, please, God, this is the dumbest bottom anybody's ever had. let me use this. And I got back into bed, and I began to rethink my thinking. And I knew that if I didn't do something concrete at that point. So I leaned over in bed and tapped AA on the shoulder. AA said, huh? And I said to him, Ray, I'm in a lot of trouble with the police. And hi, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to go to AA tomorrow. And he said, okay, go back to sleep. I had not slept. And he went back to sleep. He said, we'll talk about it in the morning. And I went to my first closed AA meeting the next day, and I've been sober ever since. So I thank the Payless shoe store that went out of business after I got sober. And I thank people like you in rooms like this, maybe not as big, but I've been privileged to live in different parts of the country and travel to different parts of the country and be grateful for things that I never realized I needed or wanted or could use. I thought, I can do kind of... My name is Hermione, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. And that's what everybody sounded like before I got here. You all improved a lot since I've been here. You smile, you're welcoming, you're fun. I am so excited today about being a member of AA. I'm so excited about the fact that I can face me, much less 7 children, 12 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. I have a way to live that opened up, I knew the 12 steps before I got here. I had been a beneficiary of all, I stood in Wilson's house one night, and I knew I was an alcoholic, and I knew I was in trouble. And so I put my hand over on Bill's shirt, kind of, and said, Lois says it's time for dinner. And I hoped that there'd be a spark that came out of there, shot up my arm, and sobered me up. He said, thanks, Steph, I'll be right there. Nothing. I had to do what I had to do in order for me to say out loud to somebody who was listening, I need help. And it's been such a great ride. There have been times where things weren't going well. There have been times where I've been scared. There have been times when I felt alone and knew I wasn't. There have been times when I postponed asking for help when I knew I needed it. And I wouldn't trade any of those experiences for the life I led before I got here. I think being sober is a hoot. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've had some pretty bad days and scary days and problems, and things go wrong, and, oh, my Lord, now what are we going to do? You don't have 7 children, 12 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren without a lot of interesting things going on around you. After Ray died, I stayed in North Carolina for a year where we had lived for a while. And then I made up my mind that I'd come back to where I had come from and essentially came back to most of our children. I have one daughter who lives in Alabama and one son in Maine. And so I get to go to AA in different states and say, my name is Stephanie and I'm an alcoholic. When I came to AA, I knew a lot as an outsider, but I didn't really know what could happen to me on the inside, that I could be content. I don't mean yippee, happy all the time, although we've certainly laughed hard in our family. But that I could be content with the way things were that day, that moment. I could face things that I didn't know whether I was ready for, prepared for, and I could make mistakes and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Being in AA, and I saw a lot of it before I came here. I heard the laughter, and it was real. And I really, I was envious of that. Because very often there'd be impromptu meetings in my kitchen, or maybe the meeting room was flooded that night, and they would all be in my living room or the backyard. And I'd listen carefully, hoping to get hints on how to stay sober without going to AA. They never told me. I'm probably getting near to where I have got to stop. And I rarely get called for going over. And yet, I'll never get over being nervous when I'm speaking in an AA meeting. And I said this to Lois one time, and she said, that's all right, dear, you probably won't have anything to say if you're not nervous. So it doesn't help, but at least I feel like, okay, it's all right that I'm nervous. If I didn't congratulate those people who are going to be celebrating tonight, congratulations for whatever time you have. I hope you have as great a time as I have had in the last years of being sober. I hope you believe that this is the best group in the whole world, because that's how I feel about the group that I belong to. I have been blessed in so many different ways. Bill said, that Alcoholics Anonymous and the members of Alcoholics Anonymous have been given three great gifts. First of all, we are recovering from a potentially fatal illness. You know, I know alcoholics who've died of alcoholism. My mother did. And when I went to make a ninth-step amends to one of my sisters, the thing that I had done to her, she lives in Massachusetts, I had avoided her, her family, everybody. I stayed away because I didn't want her to worry about me. And so I went and said, Ann, I have some news for you. I'm a member, I've joined AA, and I'm doing a ninth-step with you. And she said, oh, don't you wish Mom had found that? And that was the first time anybody in my family, as far as I know, talked about my mother's drinking. It just wasn't a topic. She didn't have a chance. We have had, Bill said in a thing that he wrote, three great gifts. And they are, first of all, recovery from a possibly fatal disease. And the second is a life experience that allows us to give that same help to somebody else. And finally, the third gift we get from being in AA is an ever-widening vision of God's reality and love. You and I have had or have a disease that kills, and yet we have a special role to play. We can help somebody else recover. And I hope that you and I are both finding an ever-widening vision of God's reality and love. Thank you, and congratulations to the celebrants.